हेलो फ्रेंड्स, आई एम किशोर कुमार, पीजीटी कॉमर्स, एईसीएस नरोरा। आई वेलकम यू ऑल टू दिस न्यू फील्ड ऑफ कॉमर्स। आई एम गोइंग टू डिस्कस विद यू चैप्टर 1 ऑफ बिजनेस स्टडीज, बिजनेस, ट्रेड एंड कॉमर्स। दिस चैप्टर इज मेनली डिवाइडेड इंटू टू पार्ट्स, where the part 1 deals with how the trade and commercial activities were carried on in ancient India. In part 2, which is the main part of this chapter, we will discuss the concept of business, its nature and purpose. Before I start the content of this first module, I hope you are all fit and healthy, and you are also taking good care of your other family members. Let us now move on to the chapter contents. Friends, you must have heard about the famous Silk Route in history subject. This Silk Route was a famous ancient trade route through which many foreign kingdoms and empires of Asia were connected. Similarly, there was a famous sea route known as Spice Route, which was there mainly for trade in spices. Both of these trade routes helped in the progress of domestic and international trade in ancient India. There is archaeological evidence which show Harappa and Mohenjo-daro as big commercial cities and India's connection with Mesopotamia for trade in many items. There is also confirmed evidence regarding the use of different types of coins and weighing practices which used to vary from place to place. Students, I am sure that you know before the evolution of money, there was a system known as barter system of exchange. A barter system of exchange is one where goods are exchanged for goods without the use of money. The main drawback of barter system was that with this we can only have very limited volume of trade. This led us to use money as a medium of exchange. Initially, in ancient times, the precious metal coins were in practice, which were later replaced by coins made up of alloy. So, when the money was used as a medium of exchange, the trade flourished because it became easier to trade using money due to its durability and divisibility. Friends, some documents like hundi and chitti were also used for carrying trade-related transactions. You will learn more about these documents in one of the chapters of accountancy called Bills of Exchange. At this stage, I will only tell that these hundis are in modern times reformed and known as Bills of Exchange. Through these documents, the buyer and seller can trade on credit. Then, slowly, the indigenous banking system also started taking shape to help by lending money for financing trade-related transactions. If I talk about the economic life of ancient people, it was mainly dependent on agriculture and rearing of pet animals. The people whose main occupation was agriculture were able to take 2 to 3 crops in a year. Ancient India was also famous for its skilled artisans who used to convert raw material into finished goods and were having huge demand throughout the world. Family-based apprentice system was in practice. Now, what is family-based apprentice system? Family-based apprentice system is a system in which the elder members of the family used to help the younger members of the family to acquire the skills like their elder members so that the junior members of the family can also become skilled artisans or craftsmen. This way, the skills were passed on from one generation to another. So that way, skills were passed on from one generation to another in ancient times. Students, if I use a word intermediary, what do you interpret from it? Let me explain. If you want to buy a car, you will go to a car showroom or a car dealer and you can buy from there. But this car dealer only acts as an intermediary between the car manufacturer and you. Intermediaries are the persons or institutions which act as middlemen and facilitate trade. These intermediaries may be known with other different names like commission agents, distributors, brokers, etc. Students, in primitive times, bullions like gold and silver were also used as currency, and huge amount of such bullion currency came to India as India was a very prominent international trading player in those times. Whenever we talk about trade, the need for credit is also emphasized. Means, whenever we want to trade, there are so many times we need credit for it. We need to take loans. So, foreign trade was financed taking loans, and in many cases, the rates of interest were high. Easy availability of credit helped in the increase of commercial activities in the past, and India enjoyed a favorable balance of trade. Now let me ask you a question. What is a favorable balance of trade? When our exports are more than our imports, it is known as a favorable balance of trade. So I repeat this important scenario once again, which belonged to ancient India. India's balance of trade at those times was favorable, means our exports were more than our imports. Next, I move on to transportation. Land and water both were used for trade in ancient times. Here, one commodity of international trade needs special mention. Black gold. Yes. Which commodity was known as black gold? Tell me the answer. Can you guess? It was pepper. People were so fond of pepper that for centuries, pepper was the main cause of rivalry between various empires. Empires tried to dominate the famous trade routes just for this purpose. This led to search for an alternate route to India, which brought persons like Columbus and Vasco da Gama here. Dear friends, let us discuss the various trading communities of ancient India. The businesses in northern part of India were dominated by Punjabi merchants. Bhat community dominated businesses in Gujarat and Rajasthan. Similarly, western Indian businesses were mainly under the control of Mahajan communities. The chief of the Mahajan community was popularly known as Nagar Seth. There was another community of merchants, and these merchants formed formal groups called guilds, which used to form code of conduct and rules of getting membership. Means the main task of the guilds were to frame code of conduct for the members of the guild that were the merchants. Students, you might be aware that taxes are a major source of revenue for kingdoms. Traders used to pay a number of taxes to the administration, such as octroi, which is a kind of tax which has to be paid on imported goods. Other forms of taxes like custom duty, ferry tax for goods, passengers and cattle. The chief of merchant associations was authorized to deal directly with the king regarding the tax collection on behalf of merchants. So, merchant community was represented through their chiefs, and this chief was making negotiations with the king. Ancient India had numerous trade centers in different cities, which were located near the ports, or they were cities known for their pilgrimage importance. Pataliputra, Peshawar, Takshila, Indraprastha, Mathura, Varanasi, Ujjain, Surat were some such examples of trading centers. If I talk about the major exports and imports of these ancient Indian cities, spices, wheat, sugar, sesame oil, cotton, live animals, opium were main export items. On the other hand, horses, animal products, Chinese silk, linen, wine, gold, silver, copper, lead, rubies, glass were the main items to be imported in ancient India. Now I am going to proceed with what was the condition of Indian subcontinent in ancient times till the year 1991. Friends, until 7th century, India was one of the largest economies in the world, which was having a sizable amount of world's wealth, and therefore it was called as Swarna Bhumi and Swarna Dweep by many foreign travelers. The foreign travelers like Megasthenes have mentioned regarding the prosperity of our country. But by the arrival of 18th century, India was much behind other developed countries. And this happened when India was operating under the East India Company, as the means of education were limited and machine-made articles were given higher preference as compared to man-made articles. Britishers used revenues generated through various provinces for purchasing Indian raw materials like spices. Due to this reason, the continuous flow of gold and silver into ancient India through foreign trade stopped. As a result of this, ancient India got converted from exporter of finished items to the exporter of raw material, and we started buying manufactured items from outside India. Ultimately, India became free in 1947, and immediately we went for centralized planning through its various 5-year plans. In the initial planning, the due importance was given to the establishment of modern industries. But despite all the efforts, the speed of development was not at a rapid pace. Free India has to spend heavily on defense items, and it eventually became a borrower from the foreign sources. Means from the times of positive or favorable balance of trade, our balance of trade became negative, unfavorable. In 1991, Indian economy chose the path of liberalization, privatization, and globalization, which is popularly known as LPG. I hope you remember this LPG from your previous classes. Now, Indian economy is the fastest growing economy in the world and a popular FDI destination. Means a popular foreign direct investment destination. We have recently launched schemes like Make in India, Skill India, Digital India, etc. And we believe that through these schemes, India will regain its ancient status, the status of Swarna Bhumi and Swarna Dweep.